You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Phillies reporter Todd Zalecki. The winter meetings are behind us, as expected, Todd. Pretty quiet as far as the Phillies go, as they still continue the rebuild. And I think that's an interesting spot to start on. We'll get to some other stuff, some spring training invites, and a look back at Mickey Moniak's first year as a Philly. But I want to start there, because this is a team that has money to spend when the time is right. And I think maybe there could have been some temptation here to start it, to make that big splash. But the Phillies were able to stand pat, stick to their plan is the way to say it. But it's not going to be too long now before they start breaking open the wallet.
No, not at all. In fact, I think it's going to start next offseason. I think you're going to start seeing them spend some serious money. This is a question I get more than any other question, which is why aren't they – kind of making a bigger splash right now, and the answer basically is they want to use this season to really figure out, and it's kind of a sink or swim season for a lot of these young players and a lot of these young prospects. You know, is Roman Quinn a guy that they can count on in the future? Dylan Cousins, Nick Williams, Aaron Altair, Tommy Joseph at first base, you know, can Michael Franco figure out some things? Freddie Galvis and Cesar Hernandez up the middle in the infield, you know, Cameron Rupp, Andrew Knapp behind the plate. The list goes on and on and on. And I think what they want to do is they want to finish next season with a much clearer picture of who can play and who can't, and then be a little bit smarter in how they spend their money. You know, a lot of people have asked me, you know, why didn't they go out and sign Ian Desmond this offseason? He would have definitely helped this lineup, and which is true. If they had spent $70 million on Ian Desmond, it would have done a couple things. One, they would have given you $70 million less to go out and get another big free agent next offseason, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado 2 years from now. And also would have decreased the opportunities for those guys to play like Roman Quinn, Eric Altair, Dylan Cousins, Nick Williams. So I think basically, like I said, they want to use next season to learn about as much of these players, and not just position players too, the starting rotation, the bullpen, and then next offseason they're going to go, okay, well, we know these three starters, I see them a part of the future, but we need to go out and get an ace. Okay, now they can go out and get an ace. Or say Roman Quinn and Dylan Cousins come up next year and they look like superstars in the making. Now maybe you don't spend the money on Bryce Harper in a couple of years, but maybe you spend the money on, say, Clayton Kershaw opts out of his contract, or Johnny Cueto opts out of his contract, or Manny Machado is available. You know, it gives you some options, you know, in terms of how to spend your money and spend your money smarter. So going forward, they fill all the holes that they need to fill, so they can get back to the playoffs and have a sustained run in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you make a good point that when you just look at this free agent class as opposed to the next two, there's a lot more coming up, not just next year, but then the big free agent class that you mentioned in 2018 with Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and so many guys available that year, including maybe even Clayton Kershaw if he opts out of his deal. But, yeah, great stuff, and props to the Phillies for sticking to the plan, because it's going to be hard in a market like Philadelphia where, you know, I think the fans have kind of – they understand what's going on, and they're on board to as much a degree as you can when your team's rebuilding. But there's still a lot of pressure in Philadelphia to get a winner there as quick as possible. All right, another thing I wanted to touch on, Paul Hagan has a story on Phillies.com right now, Todd, about the team's kind of continued movement towards analytics. They were, I mean, let's be honest, one of the last teams to kind of jump into this, but with the new regime, they're very much involved. And it's not just the typical analytics that a lot of teams are doing, but they're kind of taking it the extra step now. There was a study, I guess, that some of their minor leaguers have been involved in with an organization, WHOOP, W-H-O-O-P, and it goes beyond the normal analytics, and it gets into sleep patterns and eating right and everything else that can help a player really maximize performance.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff. They're really kind of exploring any avenue they can in terms of improving performance. And so they got involved with this company, like you mentioned, to look at sleep patterns and things of that nature, biometrics to see if they can gain any sort of edge, to see if they can learn something. And I think that's kind of where sports is going, and certainly baseball is going. You want to really know as much as you possibly can, whether that be, like you said, sleep patterns, injury prevention, diet, you know, anything that you can do to kind of get that little edge over another team. And really, even if it doesn't end up panning out, you at least have to learn to see if it works, or try to see if it works, to try to see if it helps. Because if you kind of dismiss it out of hand and go like, oh, this sounds ridiculous, then you don't learn it. Maybe it's a huge advantage for you. So I give the Phillies some props there for taking a look at these types of things. Whether or not it actually translates to wins on the field, you know, remains to be seen. But certainly interesting stuff, and definitely kind of complements the more traditional analytics research and development that they're now kind of getting more and more into at the Phillies.
On the podcast last week from the winter meetings, we talked a little bit about the mutual attraction, I guess, between the Phillies and A.J. Ellis to return as a backup catcher. That ends up not working out as Ellis ends up agreeing to a deal with the Marlins. So what does that do for the Phillies' backup catcher position? Are they happy to go with the prospect Alfaro as the backup, or is there still a look to find a veteran out there to come in before spring training?
You know, now that A.J. Ellis has signed with the Marlins, I think they're going to stick internally. And actually, what I think is going to happen is Alfaro, who is one of the top 100 prospects in baseball, they love him. He's got tremendous power. He's got one of the best arms behind the plate anywhere at any level. I think he actually might go back and start the season in AAA to kind of continue his development, because he spent all of last year in AA Redding. And what I think he might see happen is Andrew Knapp, another top catching prospect, maybe not quite at the level of Alfaro. He spent all of last season in AAA, and I think he could be the backup to Cameron Rupp. And talking to Matt Klentak about it last week at the winter meetings, he really seemed to be okay with that. You know, at some point, in his mind, I think you have to let some of these young guys play. And again, we talked about it more in an everyday role with players like Roman Quinn and Tommy Joseph, et cetera. But even in a backup role like Andrew Knapp, you have to see if he can play or not, and see if he's going to be part of your future, either as a backup catcher. Maybe he can pass up Cameron Rupp as an everyday player. You never know. But I think that's the way they're going to go now. Alfaro, to me, was just a little bit too raw. He had still too much room to grow. And I guess in a sense, it's a compliment to him that he probably doesn't see it this way, but it's kind of a compliment to him and how they view him that they might start him in AAA as the everyday catcher, because they want him playing every single day and continuing to develop, because I don't think they look at him as a backup. And not to say that Andrew Knapp can't be more than a backup, but they're looking at him to be solid player in the future.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You look ahead to spring training, Todd, and some invites have gone out from the Phillies, and some interesting names, guys like Sean Burnett and Daniel Nava, guys who have had success in the past. Their careers in recent years haven't been what they once were, I guess, or what they had flashes of, but still some interesting names and some fun storylines, I guess, for you come February when you head down to Clearwater.
Yeah, I think both of those guys have a chance at making the team. You know, Burnett is the lefty out of the bullpen, and Nava is an extra bench bat, extra outfielder. And those things are always intriguing. You know, it's always kind of fun to watch. See, you know, Burnett's coming back from, I think he's only pitched like 15 innings the last 3 years because of double Tommy John surgery. So, you know, can he come back and actually be a productive pitcher again? So those are the battles that do kind of make spring training a little bit more interesting, kind of these comeback stories and just, you know, guy trying to, you know, reestablish himself in the big leagues. Not to say that they're going to be big players or real key contributors, but, gives you something a little bit more to look for, a little bit more depth to the Phillies, certainly. And, so those competitions should be fun to watch.
One more thing to touch on with you, Todd. At the winter meetings, Mickey Moniak, of course, the number one draft pick in the draft last June of the Phillies, he accepted his Baseball America High School Player of the Year award, which kind of, I guess, puts a bow on that portion of his playing career. But when you look at what he did in obviously a brief time and not a full season with the Phillies, his first year in the organization, did he get off to the start that the Phillies were hoping for? I know the numbers are pretty good, and to this point, I've heard nothing but good things about him. Is he right where the Phillies want him to be as still an 18, 19-year-old?
Yeah, I think so. They're very happy with how he played in the Gulf Coast League. He hit about 280, you know, 340, 350 on base percentage, showed a lot of talent at the plate, showed a lot of talent in the field. And you know, they could not be more pleased with what they saw from him. You know, certainly they're expecting big things from him down the road, which is why they took him number one overall. But absolutely nothing that he did this season in the Gulf Coast League has them feeling any differently about him.
Before Moniak, three previous players were able to win the BA High School Player of the Year award and go number one in the draft. This is pretty good company. Josh Hamilton, Justin Upton, and Joe Mauer. So if that's any sign, Phillies have plenty of reasons to be excited about Mickey Moniak. Great stuff as always, Todd. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition. For Todd Zielecki, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.